All right, the first question on the test is, how many Gospels are there? How many Gospels are there?
Four.
All right, you got that right. And what is the theme of all the four Gospels? Gospel of Matthew, katamathion. What's the theme of the Gospel of Matthew? Brother Abe, theme of the Gospel of Matthew?
The King of Israel.
The Gospel according to Luke. How did Luke look at Jesus?
Man.
As a human.
The human.
All right. A human of the lineage of who? Matthew's lineage of Jesus goes back to what? Matthew's lineage.
David.
Goes back through who? Through Joseph. All right. And then Luke's lineage goes to through who?
Mary.
All right. The Son of Man, literally the son of what? Woman. What verse in the Old Testament are we going to look at that promises the seed of the woman? Genesis 3:15. All right. All right. Now we got Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. How about Mark? We didn't get Mark, did we? What's Mark? How did Mark look at Jesus?
Historical.
The what?
Historical. History.
Well, he looked at him in a special way. Roger.
As a servant.
Remember, there were four flags that flew in the four directions around the tabernacle. And each one of those four flags represented, as we know now, a gospel. All right? Which flag flew represented Mark? The ox or the calf. All right. Now, how about John? This is where we are. We're in the Gospel according to John. How does John look at Jesus? As the Jehovah God of the Old Testament. As the Creator God of the heavens and the earth. All right? That was the last Gospel written, wasn't it? According to Polycarp, John's disciple, John was not going to write a Gospel, but he said, by two or three witnesses, let everything be established. But he saw in his time Gnostics that did not believe in the deity of Christ, that he didn't believe that God became flesh to redeem mankind back. That's why he wrote John 3:16, for God so what? Loved the world. He's going to redeem the whole cosmos back to himself one of these days. The whole cosmos. Now, on this little chart we have up here, what period of time are we talking about today? Where are we? Isaiah, do you know where we are here today? What time are we studying it? Right there. Just before the cross. All right, now the law was over with, wasn't it? What? The law and the prophets were unto what? The law and the prophets were unto what? See, I told you it's a test. You like this test? The law and the prophets were up to Sharon. No. The law and the prophets were unto Roger.
I'm just going to say Jesus.
John the Baptist.
Oh, okay.
The law and the prophets were unto John. Until that, the kingdom of God is preached. All right? The law and the prophets were unto John. You can get your little C up here. The law given, the law fulfilled. You know, all of that, you can see on that. But the law and the prophets were until John. Until that, the kingdom of heaven is preached. Because the king had come. Israel was then set aside right then. Now we're in John 8 and verse 39. John 8 and 39. We're going to contrast Jesus in person with John's gospel with a little bit of Islamic view of who Jesus was. Okay? Because we have a lot of trouble with them people today, aren't we? In every way. There's Sharia law and all this stuff. So, let's look at that. First of all, we're going to... Jesus has been bantering with these Pharisees, the scribes, the Levites. All right? What are the scribes, by the way? What did they do? What?
They were to write everything down. They were like...
The county clerks, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And every synagogue had a scribe. Young lady, you got an A+.
Thank you.
All right, and it's good to have you in the class, though, you. All right. Verse number 39, and they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Now, what is Abraham? It means it's Abraham, isn't it? Abraham. How does, what does that name mean? His name was Abraham. What? Oh, exalted father of a multitude. That's what Abraham means. Now, Abraham meant what? Exalted father, period. Exalted father. It comes from a Hebrew word, Abba. 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 All right? And they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds, do the works of Abraham. Now, let's go back to the customs of the day. Let's go back now. Let's go here where Jesus is talking to them. He threw out something to them that that was very common in that time. Do the works of your father. What did a son usually do? He followed in the occupation of his father. Okay? Now, Abraham is called the father of the faithful, the father of faith, and he was the one that God picked out and chose, elected, to bring faith into the world. All right? And to literally found a nation and a people. Now, there's two ways to look at Abraham's seed. What are the two ways you look at Abraham's seed? Number one, your seed will be what? Come on, remember, girls and boys.
Sand.
Huh? Like the sand of the seashore. All right, now, like the sand of the seashore. Now, what does the sands of the seashore represent about Abraham's children? His physical descendants. Now, how many wives did Abraham have?
Three.
All right. The first child he had was from a Hamite girl, which was literally Hagar, was the daughter of Pharaoh by a concubine. Okay? And that was a political arrangement. And, of course, Abraham went down into Egypt and just totally deceived Pharaoh. Period. He lied to him. Simple as that. Okay? And Pharaoh was going to make an allegiance with him, so he gave his daughter to him as a wife. Now, he didn't take her as a wife yet. He had Sarah, and of course, he sold Sarah to Pharaoh, which was a real big mistake. Well, Pharaoh caught on to the scam pretty soon and kicked him out and sent everything with him. He said, keep everything I gave you and get out of my sight, pretty much. You know, leave. Well, Abraham, first child he had was Ishmael. What does Ishmael mean? Ishmael. Huh? God hears. God hears. All right? And then, by Sarah, and what does Sarah mean? Huh? Okay, it means to contend or to fight or to war. It's the same word, Sarah or Sar. That's the name for prince or princess. Okay, it means princess, all right, but it means a warrior princess. Okay? Well, he had a child by Sarah, didn't he? What was that child's name? How can you say it in Hebrew? Brother Mike, can you say it in Hebrew?
What's the question?
What was Sarah's child's name? Sarah's child. It's pretty common. How do you say it in Hebrew, Brother Roger? Yitzchak, 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 Yitzchak. What does it mean?
Joy, laughter.
Joy, laughter, pleasure. That's what it means. Joy, laughter, pleasure. That's what Yitzchak means. All right. And now we have and she was a Shemite, wasn't she? We have a Hamite. We have a Shemite. And why I'm saying this is because we want to look at the seas of the sandshore. He had children like the seas of the sandshore. Now, what was Abraham's last wife's name? Huh? Keturah. Now, what nationality was she? A Japhethite. Who may have been one of her very famous descendants?
Alexander
the Great. All right? So now we have Abraham literally populating with his seed. Now, if you had your DNA done biggest chance would be that you would go back to Abraham. How many of you know that? Literally. He's the father of all three races. Okay? So he had many children like the sea of the sand shore. Now, how about, what's the other little type that, of what? Of what else? The seas of the sand shore. Your seed will be like the seas of the sand shore and like what?
Stars.
The stars of heaven. Now, there's a lot of them, aren't there? We're still trying to find them all. Haven't found them all yet. But what does that represent?
His spiritual seed.
All right. So now he told them, you do the deeds of your father. If you are really Abraham's son, why aren't you a father of the faith? Why aren't you following the faith of your father, Abraham? And then they have an answer to him, of course. Verse number 40. But as it is, you are seeking to murder me, to slaughter me. Now, according to the Hebrew Bible, the Ten Commandments, we talk about the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue, all right? What does it say about killing? Do you remember what it says about killing, Brother Roger?
Don't keep
on killing, because they were murderers. It says, don't keep on lying. It says in the English translation, you shall not lie, you shall not murder. That's not what it says in Hebrew. You shall not keep on lying. You shall not keep on murdering. You shall not keep on stealing. You shall not keep on deceiving. You shall not keep on committing perjury. You shall not keep on lusting after. All right? But it is as you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. Aletheia. Aletheia, that's the word for truth. What's aletheia mean? Remember, girls and boys, what aletheia mean? Truth? No shadows. No shadows. There's nothing in the dark. Which I heard from God, this Abraham did not do. All right? Verse number 40. When you are doing the deeds of your father, you are falling after the deeds of your father. Now, let's see who he says his father is. Okay? And they said then to him, we aren't illegitimate children. You are. Remember what they said about Jesus? Huh? What did the Jews say about Jesus in the Talmud later on? What did they say about him?
His dad was a
Roman soldier. That's where he got the blonde hair and blue eyes. Jesus really had blonde hair and blue eyes. How many of you knew that? In my class you did. And they said, see there, we aren't illegitimate children, you are. All right? We weren't born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Now that's really, really neat, isn't it? Genesis 3:15 says what? That's the first promise of a Messiah in the Bible. First promise of the Messiah, but first promise of the literal Antichrist, isn't it? The literal Antichrist. First promise. Let's look at it. Genesis 3:15. Who's got that? Genesis 3:15. All right, you want to come up here with that real quick? That's good. All right. Now, I want you to comment on that just a little bit as you read it. Tell me what you've learned.
I've got all my notes.
All right.
Okay, 15, and then, okay. Well, should
now, first of all, who's talking here?
God's talking, and he's talking.
Jehovah's talking to?
The serpent.
Serpent.
Well, the women. Well, Adam and Eve.
Man and woman are there. Ish and Ishah. Adam and Eve are there. She didn't have the name Eve yet, so did she?
No, not yet.
All right.
Should I start at 14?
Okay.
So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring.
Okay, who's that?
The Antichrist.
So that's an Antichrist. There's going to be a woman that literally brings forth a child that is born of Satan one of these days. Could be here already today.
Between your offspring and hers, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel.
Mm-hmm. In other words, the Messiah would be dealt a crippling blow, but the Messiah is going to destroy Satan. He's going to basically going to put him away. All right, finally and forever.
Do you want it more?
Well, you can read the rest of it.
Oh, well. Well, to the woman he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing, and with pain you will give birth to children, and your desire will be for your husband. And then we'll skip
all
the next
right.
part.
All right. You don't like that part, do you?
No, I don't like it.
Girls don't like that part. No, no, no. All right. So there's a promise. The promise of that Messiah. Now, where was that fulfilled in the Bible? Where was that fulfilled in the Bible? Tell me the place that that fulfilled. And not only tell me the place it was fulfilled, I want you to tell me the place in the original language is fulfilled it. I want you to quote it. Brother.
John 1:14.
Kai ho logos sarx agenito. That's what it says. Kai is and. Ho logos is what?
The
word. Now tell me about that word word. Here we have Kai ho logos sarx agenito. All right. Tell me about it.
Stands for Jehovah.
It's all right. And the word. This is what? This word here.
Logos is word.
That's the word. Now, what? It's a Hebraism, huh?
Ha-devar.
Okay, it comes from Ha-devar. Right there. Okay. What's that mean?
It also means the word, but it stands for Jehovah.
It stands for this name right here, doesn't it? That's it. It stands for that name, which is Jehovah. So when the Jews would read the Old Testament, they would come to the name Jehovah here, and they would say what?
Ha-devar.
Hashem. And Hashem. All right. Ha-devar means the word, or Hashem, the name. This is the personal name of God. So this is John 1:14. Now John 1:1 says, in arche ein ho logos, in beginning kept on being the word. By the way, that's the oldest verse in the Bible as far as time goes. It goes back in eternity past before anything was created. In arche ein ho logos, in the beginning kept on being the word. It says in King James something like
was the word.
Okay, and the word was with God. Okay, but in Greek, I always think the Greek instead of the other thing. In beginning kept on being the word, the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because Jehovah kept on being God. And then John 1:14 is the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. And the Jehovah flesh, sarx, carne, all right? Flesh, he became. And that's beautiful. Agenito, he became. Third person, masculine, singular, second aorist, indicative, active. Or not indicative, middle voice. The Father sent him, didn't he? The Holy Spirit sent him. And Jesus sent himself. Here we have the triune God officiating and putting God in flesh. All right?
How do you say John 1:1 in English again? N-R-K?
N-R-K ain't ho logos. N-R-K ain't ho logos. In beginning, kept on being. That word ain there is third person singular imperfect indicative active. He kept on being. He never, there was always God. How long did God exist? It says forever. How long did God exist before he ever had the plan? Forever. The Bible says that he wrote our name's book in the Lamb's book of life before he made a plan. Before he ever, actually, before he took this plan through it and created the physical universe. All of that was in the plan first. Let's go on a little further now. I proceeded forth and have come from God, and I have not even come on my own initiative, but he who sent me. Verse number 43. Why do you understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. And he's playing on the word, isn't he? Look at that word. All right? The word of God. They always prided themselves in being a people of the word, didn't they? But they weren't. Before Israel was carried off into the Babylonian captivity, they worshipped things, didn't they? They were a people of worship. They were idolaters. Idolaters. Laban. What does Laban mean in Hebrew? White. Alrighty. He had white hair. He was probably red-haired, and then his hair turned white when he got a little older, and they called him Laban or Whitey. Okay? And by the way, probably Rebekah had flaming red hair also. And because Esau was all red and hairy, wasn't he? All right, here we have these genes coming down. These red genes, and it came from Laban. Okay? Now, Laban, what did he worship? Did he worship Jehovah God of Israel? No. Israel wasn't even born yet. But he worshiped things. He worshipped his ancestors. These little teraphim things that he carried around. Remember one time? Remember when Rachel took off with his gods? All right, his little gods, his little family. He worshipped probably Noah and Adam and everybody else. He was praying to these people. All right. You cannot hear my word. When Israel was carried off in the Babylonian captivity, they finally got sick of idols, but then they began to worship the Word of God instead of God still. They still could not worship the invisible God. They wanted to worship something physical. You go over there today, and they will take the Torah out, and they will kiss it. And the Bible says, kiss the Son, not the Word. We really pride ourselves in teaching the Word of God. But the Word of God is only a vehicle to God. It's not what we worship. Okay, we don't worship the God Word. Israel worshipped the Word, but they didn't. You are of your father the devil. He repeats again. You are your father the devil. How many titles does the old devil have? Remember how many titles he had? Let's look at some of them real quick. All right, the titles. The titles of the devil. Well, how about the word diabolo, devil itself? What does diabolos mean? That's the same thing in Spanish, isn't it? Diabolos? That diabolos comes right out of Greek. And then it goes into Latin and then it goes into Spanish. All right? Diabolos, what does it mean? Diabolos.
Deceiver.
Huh?
Deceiver.
What?
Deceiver?
No. Diabolos.
Destroyer?
Yeah. Diabolos. Right there, diabolos. That's it. That's where it comes from. Dia means what? That's a preposition. What's dia mean? Young lady, you remember what dia means? It means where? What? Through. To throw through. Like to throw a .45 caliber bullet through somebody. 451, 452 diameter bullet. Cool. that's a diabolos. That's a destroyer, you know. to throw a spear through somebody. To throw an arrow through somebody. This is what it means, is to destroy, to kill. So in that word, diabolos, it means murderer. Okay? His name is also Abaddon in Revelation 9 and 11. Abaddon means what? Abaddon. Abaddon, what does Abaddon mean? Brother Mike, you remember what Abaddon means? That means destroyer. That means to destroy. And how about the accuser? He's called the accuser, isn't he? Peter calls him the accuser. The book of Job calls him the accuser. He accused Job, didn't he? All right. And how about the adversary? Now, what that word adversary? That word adversary, the word Satan comes right out of it, doesn't it? Adversary. What does Satan mean? Adversary and Satan mean the same thing. What does it mean? To stand against. All right, to stand against. How about Apollyon? Apollyon. There's a very famous name from Apollyon. He was one of the disciples, probably wrote the book of Hebrews. What was his name? Apollos. Okay. What does Apollos or Apollyon mean? Means to destroy. It means to totally destroy and to uploose, literally. Apo and Leo is what it comes from. And Beelzebub. Also Beelzebub. Beelzebub. Who was that, Brother Mike? You remember who Beelzebub was? He was a fly god. He was the one that controlled all the flies. How about Belial? Huh? Belial. And The dragon. Acts 16:16. We were studying the other night, Acts 16:16. Last Wednesday night. That poor woman, that poor girl, that poor damsel was controlled by the spirit of it's called divination. But what does it say in Greek? What's it say in Greek there, Acts 16? She was controlled by the spirit of a pithona. What's a pithona? Python. That's a big snake, isn't it? So he's called the serpent or the dragon or the snake. He's called the evil one. He's called the father of lies. He's also called the god of this age. Is he the god of this age? What's causing all the trouble in the world today? Sure not God's problem. I mean, it's not his fault. It's the old devil's fault. Everybody always tries to lay everything. Well, why would God let all these little kids be born and born crippled and stuff like that? That isn't the Lord. That's the god of this age, the old devil. All the bad storms and things you have. You read the book of Job. We ought to read that often because he is the father of all the problems that we have in the world today. He's called the prince and the power of the air. And he's called the serpent of old. Those are some of the names of this rascal. He said, "If you are your father, the devil." He repeats to them again. And you do desires. You do the lust of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. He is a liar and the father of lies. Now, we believe in the Adamic nature, don't we? What is the Adamic nature? What's the... Calvinist term for the Adamic nature? You remember what that is? How many of you know that? What's the Calvinistic term? How did Calvin term the Adamic nature? Come on, girls and boys. Huh? Yeah, that's it. A plus. Total hereditary depravity. Total hereditary depravity, okay? We're depraved, aren't we? Because we're Adam's children. Now, Islam doesn't teach that. Did you know that? Now, what curse do we have because Adam rebelled in the garden and partook, ate up all the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You know, they didn't eat one little apple off of it, did they? Or one little fruit, whatever it was. What'd they do to it? You Hebrew schooler students, what'd they do? They ate it all up. They gobbled it all down. Eve, or Isha, she took of it and ate and ate and ate and ate and ate. And then she took and gave to her husband, and he ate and he ate and he ate and he ate in the imperfect tense. He kept on eating until they had nothing left to eat. And then here comes Jehovah God, which is Jesus, walking in the garden. And they hid themselves from him. They hid themselves from him. Here he is right here again. In the New Testament. This is Jehovah that was walking with Adam in the Old Testament. Because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. You don't know anything about it. You've begun to worship the Word of God instead of worshiping me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? Convicts me to the point of repenting. That's what the word is. Which one of you convicts me like a sentence of sin? Which one of you has shown one sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? All right. The the Muslim world, when a child is born, they swear up and down that the devil touches every one of the children. That's what makes them mean. They're not born with Adam's sin in them. That's a little hocus pocus, isn't it? The devil touching each one of them. That's hocus pocus. But the sin nature, where does the sin nature come from? Does it come from the woman? Does the sin nature of mankind come from a woman? No. No, it comes from the man. How does it come into the human race? How does it come? Through the blood of the man. The child that is conceived in a woman does not have any blood from her. It comes from her father, from the child's father. And that child has the infection of sin in that child. And that's why we go astray from our mother's womb. I guess we could go astray in the mother's womb too, could we? Be kicking when we're not supposed to be kicking. All right. Remember those two boys who were kicking around in their mother's womb and fighting? Remember who they were? Who were those boys?
Jacob and Esau
and little old Rebekah's womb. They were kicking around in there fighting. He who is of God hears. Now look at that word, he who is of God. What case is that of God there in, Brother Roger? That's a genitive case. Okay, genitive is a case of what?
Possession.
He who is possessed of God. He who belongs to God. That's beautiful. He who belongs to God. Hears the words of God, belonging to God. The words belonging to God. And here again is another play on words. He hears Jehovah. He hears and he obeys the word. Okay? For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not belonging to God. You are not out of God. You're not belonging to God. Verse number 48 now, they get mad again. And the Jews answered and said to him, by the way, what does the word Jews mean? Where does that come from? Where did that term originate? The word Jews. Brother Mike, you know that one? Kathy? What's that? You remember that, Mike? No? Roger, what's that word come from?
I know where Hebrews comes from. That's the people from across the
world. Yeah. Okay, how about the word Jews? Dr. John, do you remember that one? No. Marilyn, Jews. Come on. Spit it out. Jews. Sharon, you know that. It comes from the name Judah. All right. What does Judah mean? It's Yehuda. Say Yehuda. Yehuda. That's what it means in Hebrew, Yehuda. What does that name mean? Huh? Huh? Praise Jehovah. That's what his name means. Praise Jehovah. Now, Jesus is a lion from the tribe of what?
Judah.
And these people are called by the name of Judah. And here is his son. The promised son. All right, the promised son. The Jews answered, saying, "We do not. We say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon." The word Samaritan means what? Huh? Not a good term. It's not. It's like calling somebody an illegitimate child or some other cuss word, slang, terrible word. Okay. He said, you're a Samaritan. You're a half-breed Jew. That's what those Samaritans were. But whose children were they? What tribe did the Samaritans come from? You remember that from Brother Mike? Huh?
Benjamin.
What?
Benjamin's sons.
Okay. They were Joseph's sons.
Oh, Joseph's
sons. Ephraim and Manasseh. Joseph's sons. Okay. They were Ephraim and Manasseh. So these go right back to Jacob's beloved wife. Huh?
Rachel.
All right. And by the way, it doesn't say too many bad things. The Lord doesn't say too many bad things about the Samaritan, does it? When Jesus preached in Samaria, what happened? Had a great big revival because of this floozy that came to the well. All right? The woman in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. You're a Samaritan, and you possessed by a demon. You're possessed by a... What does the word demon mean? It's daimonia. Simonia, what does that mean? Little God. That's supernatural creature, supernatural being these little demons are. You have a demon. And Jesus answered, I do not have a demon. Now, did the Jews ever say that Jesus did not heal anybody historically? How about the writings they left behind? Did they ever say that Jesus, wasn't born of a virgin? This woman that had him, you know what it said about that? Huh? That he said he was virgin born, but she had an affair with this German, you know, Roman soldier, you know. Okay? Now, if you go into the Quran, I got it even over there on tape. I want to let you hear what they say. They say, you know, that Jesus was born of a virgin. Did you know that? That's the Quran. Okay?
One of them, right? There's four different ones, right?
Huh?
There's four different Qurans, right? I
heard. Oh, there's just like you've got the Babylonian Talmud, you've got your Jerusalem Talmud, you've got the Hadith, you've got the Ha-Hadith, you've got the Quran, et cetera, and all this kind of stuff. You know, this is all writings. It's a copycat of Judaism is what it is. Okay? They had their traditions. All right. Let me tell you about this. We have Mary here. Mary was a miraculous birth in the Quran. Right there. The family of Imam is what it's called. Okay? And it says her mother brought forth a woman. Of course, a woman now, you know that in ancient Arabic culture, what did they do a lot of times when they had a woman, when they had a baby girl? They killed her. They killed her. All right? Now, according to Muhammad, they weren't supposed to kill these women because he liked to have a lot of wives or whatever, you know. These guys, they can have at least four, so there's got to be at least one man and four women for all of them, okay? In a lot of cases. She said, verily I brought forth a girl, a female. Mary at the sanctuary, he found her supplied with food. And she said, this is from God. And we go on down, and God announced to John, now this is talking about John the Baptist, to you, who shall be a verifier of the word from God, and a great one, and a chaste prophet of a number of the just. And then, now this is in the Hadith, Brother Mike. According to the tradition of Muhammad, the Hadith, every newborn child is touched by Satan. Mary wasn't touched by Satan. With the exception of Mary and her son, neither one of them were touched by Satan. Okay? Between whom Satan and God interposed a veil. All right? Now let's go on a little bit further. O Mary, verily God announced to thee the word from him that his name shall be Messiah, Jesus the Son of Mary, illustrious in this world and in the next, and one of those who have near access to God. He shall speak to men alike, even from the cradle. Now, according to Islam, Jesus was preaching from the cradle before he was ever, it's just a baby, you know, an infant. The Bible doesn't say that. All right. He shall be one of the just. How, O my Lord, shall I have a son when a man hath not touched me? And he said thus, God will create what he will. When he decreeth a thing, he only said, be, and it is. And will teach him the book, and the wisdom, the law, and the evangel, and he shall be an apostle to the children of Israel. Now I have come, he will say, with a sign from the Lord. Out of clay will I make for you, as it were a figure of a bird. Now, when he was 7 years old, it says in one of the Hadiths, that Jesus was playing with some other little children of his same age. How many of you have heard this in culture? Mormonism quote this and everything, okay? That Jesus made little camels, and he made little donkeys, and he made little cows, and he made birds. And he calls them to eat. He made them come to life and walk and talk, so to speak, and move and all of that, and they ate. And then the birds, they would fly. his little clay birds. And he's showing off to the other little kids that he did all this stuff. This is according to the Ahithiah, all right? And that when it was all over with, he just goes, zap, and they turned back to clay. Okay? Now, Jesus began his miracles. How old was he?
30.
Why? Why did he begin his miracles when he was 30? Because the priests didn't begin to minister until they were 30. Everything was according to Hoyle. He was a seed of the woman, not mankind. All right? Now, this is what the Quran says about Jesus. He said, I've come to attest the law which was before me and to allow you part of that which has been forbidden you. And I come to you with a sign from your Lord, for God then, and obey me, and of a truth God is my Lord and your Lord, and therefore worship him. This is the right way. And when Jesus perceived unbelief on their part, he said, who my helpers with God? Who my helpers with God? And the apostles said, we will be God's helpers. And we believe in God and bear thou witness. We are Muslims. Okay? O our Lord, we believe in what thou hast sent down, and we follow the apostle right unto us then with those who bear witness to him. And the Jews plotted, and God plotted. But God's plot is the best. They were preparing to kill Jesus, it says here. Remember when God said, O Jesus, verily I will cause you to die and will take you up again to myself and deliver you from those who believe not, and I will place those who follow thee above those who believe not until the day of the resurrection. That is, to me is return. Then he goes on down. And it says in the Quran again, in verse number 50, at the bottom of verse number 50, verily Jesus is Adam in the sight of God, is as Adam in the sight of God. He created him out of dust. What's wrong with that? Huh? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with this? He created, like Adam, he created. Was Adam created from dust? No. He was created from the same elements of dust. Why did God not create Adam out of dust? I mean, the translations say he created him out of dust. But that's not what it says. Why didn't God create Adam out of dust? Because Adam is a primary creation of God. He wasn't created from something else. He's created right straight from God. Why did he not create him from dust? Because the earth was cursed. If he had created him from dirt, he would have created him from something that was cursed. No, he didn't create him from something that's cursed. He created him from the same elements that he created the earth that had become cursed or dust. Okay? Why didn't God accept Cain's offering? What did Cain offer God? He offered him grain that was taken from a cursed earth. So he had a cursed offering from a cursed earth. And by the way, he didn't give the right amount either, did he? He didn't tithe right. Okay? He said, Jesus is as Adam in the sight of God. He created him of dust. And he said to him, and he was. Now, on over a little bit further in number 70, I beseech not a man that God should give him the scriptures and the wisdom and the gift of prophecy, than that he should say to his fathers, be worshippers of me as well as of God. Now, did Jesus tell his disciples to worship him? Yes, he did. Yeah, he told them to worship him. He told them to pray in his name too, didn't he? And he told, remember, they asked him, show us the Father, and what did he say? How long have I been with you and you did not see me? All right? But rather he, be ye perfect in all things pertaining to God, and since you know the Scriptures and have studied deep. Now, this is one last little word they say about Jesus. Do not, God doth not command you to take angels or prophets as lords. What would ye command you to become infidels after you've become Muslims? In other words, if you worship Jesus, you would be an infidel. He said he would not say that. Now, this is basically combating Christian doctrine. That's what it was. Muhammad was very, very much influenced by Christian and Jewish doctrine. They were all around him. All right. Even the Gnostics were down in Arabia. That's where he got the idea that Jesus wasn't real. Now, let's go on a little bit further now. They've accused him of having a demon. And Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. He shall never see death. What kind of death is he talking about? Doesn't say he's not going to die. He's not going to see what? The second death is what? The lake of fire. Isn't it? That's what we call the second death. He will never see that death. All right? Now, verse number 52. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died. I go through the Old Testament, and it says all of these people, names, all the names, and there's this, we meals. What does that mean? We meals. And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. All of them died. They all died, all right. But if they died in Christ or died in belief, they're not dead, are they? Once you become conscious, once you become an individual in your mother's womb, that's the beginning of life. And that life will never end, ever. It'll be of one of two places, either in eternal hell or with the Lord, one of those two things. He said, Abraham died and the prophets also, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste of death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets who died too. Who do you make yourself out to be? And verse number 54. If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is your God. Verse number 55. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. If I say that I did not know him, I'd be a liar just like you. Boy, that's pretty hard terms, isn't it? But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now go back to Genesis 22. Genesis, that book is called what? What's the name of the book of Genesis, Brother Roger? Bar-a-sheet. All right, what does Bar-a-sheet mean? Beginnings. Literally, Bar-a-sheet, it means in beginnings. Genesis 22. We're going to see the story that Jesus is referring to. And then he's going to refer back to Exodus 3:14. Genesis 22. This is the story of Abraham, isn't it? And Yitzhak, Isaac. All right. Now, starting with verse number 22 and verse 1. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you have loved, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. Now he had already lost his other son, hadn't he? What does Hagar mean? What does it mean? Pilgrim or wanderer. They would wander. Okay. Go to the land of Moriah, which is Jerusalem. Look over there to Jerusalem. That's where it is, right there. Right up there in the city of Jerusalem. Now, they said there's two ideas. One of them is it was the rock of Moriah, there, which is under the Dome of the Rock, which was built by an Islamic ruler. Isaac, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering, one on the mountains, which I will tell you. Now, Abraham goes there, and he, in verse number 4, on the third day, look at this, what does 3 days mean? What does 3 days mean? This 3 days business. That you heard 3 days before in the Bible?
Sure.
How long was Jonah in the belly of the Leviathan? Huh? 3 days. See it over and over and over. How long will Jesus be dead in the grave? 3 days. All right. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. So where's the word saw there? It comes from the word to see. All right? It's like raw. Okay? To see. He lifted up his eyes and he saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men and to these guides, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over yonder, and we shall worship, and we shall return. Now, in Hebrew, it tells you all this. We're going to go, and then we are going to return. In other words, now, what was he supposed to do there with Isaac? Kill him and burn him up. I mean, he's supposed to burn him to ashes. But Abraham believed Jehovah, because Jehovah said that in that child would come the Messiah. In that child would come the Messiah. So he believed, Abraham believed that if he killed that child, and it tells you that in the New Testament, that if he killed that child, that God would raise him up and make him stand again, the resurrection. And Abraham looked, took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, Father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the sacrifice? We don't have the most important thing. We don't have the most important thing. How are we going to go up and worship God without a sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide. Now, what did he literally say there, Sharon? This word, what's this word now? What is that word? Brother Roger, what is that word? He will see to it. God will see to it. That's, remember the old Oklahoma, Okies and say, they say, when are we going to get this? I'll see to it. I'll see to it. I'll see to it. I'll see to it. It means I'll provide. I'll see to it. And God will see to it for himself and for the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them walked on together. And they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to murder, kill, slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad. Do nothing to him, for I know that you fear me. You fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham raised his eyes and looked. That's the same word there. He looked. He saw. And behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by the strongest part of his body, his horns. Now, what was, when they had the Feast of Trumpets, what did they blow? A ram's horn. All right, this is it, okay? And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name, the Lord was seen. That's what it literally says. The Lord shall provide. But what he literally said, the Lord was seen. Now, these Jews knew this language. You think that they know what he's talking about? And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord was seen. And he said to this day in the mount, the Lord was seen and saw to it. All right, now let's go back over here in the New Testament. That just referred to this. Got just a minute or two left. You're not greater than our father Abraham. And they said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He rejoiced. He saw the Lord. He saw Jehovah stand there. And the Lord provided the lamb. And he saw it and was glad. You think old Abraham was glad when he saw the Lord? When the Lord appeared to him and said, don't kill that boy? And look over there. There's the lamb. And the Jews therefore said to him, you're not yet 50 years old and you have seen Abraham. And now he goes back to Exodus 3:14. All right, Exodus 3:14. What does Exodus 3:14 say? Who's got that? Exodus 3:14. Chance, you got Exodus 3:14? Sharon, you got Exodus 3:14? Any of you? Roger? Mike? You there? All right. Can you find it time you get up here and read that so people can hear you? Can't hear you back there. Exodus 3:14. What does Exodus 3:14 say?
And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you.
Thank you. All right. Now let's see what kind of a bombshell that Jesus is going to drop on these guys. All right. And Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham became, ego eimi. That's not literally what he said. And the Septuagint says, ego eimi, I am. Asher, hatya, asher. I am that I am. That's what he said in Hebrew. And in Greek, he said, ego eimi. And that's, he's quoting the Septuagint, and they know what it says. And therefore they what? They picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. What were they going to do? They're going to stone him for what? Blasphemy. Why? Because he said that he is God. He said that he is God. Is there any doubt that Jesus said he was God? Huh? If you study Islamic writings, you'll find out that they don't like the Gospel of John at all. They don't like it. They said it should have never been put in the Bible. You know why? Because it plainly says that Jesus is God. That he is God. Do you have any questions? Any questions? Any interrogation? All right. Good to have you with us today. Any questions? No? All right. Let me turn these machines off.